Apostle Paul said in the Colossian letter, 12 verses, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Whew! In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. God has saved us and put us into something that this world can't understand. God has redeemed us. He's bought us. He's purchased us. He purchased us with his son Jesus and the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for the sins of our being. And a lot of people think, you know, about all the sins we've committed. And just like Renee was saying about things that he does bad, all of us are bad things. Some, according to our thinking, worse than others. But in God's sight, they're all just as equally bad. But the thing that the Bible tells us in John 3:18, that we're condemned not because that we stole cookies out of the cookie jar, not because that we got mad at somebody, not because that we cursed, not because that we stole, not because that we have done anything of the moral character that might be out of line with what God had expected of us, but it's because that we've not believed in our heart in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the condemnation that sends a person to that place called hell. And those that are saved are people who have recognized their condemnation and put their trust in Jesus to be saved and to be redeemed, to be put into that family of God, to become a child of God, to become one of his. I thought about this. It wasn't intended to be a part of a sermon, but I was just thinking about this the other day. That a lot of people go around talking about how we're all children of God. We're not all children of God. We're part of God's creation. But the only children of God are those that are born of God, those that have been saved by the grace of God. Everybody else is a lost sinner headed for hell. And they're not children of God. They're part of the creation that God has made and the continuation of the multiplication of that creation. And that takes place by natural means. And when a person is born in this physical body, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago a little bit, but when we're born in this physical body, we have the nature of sin. We were conceived in sin. And we become a person through the natural processes of the development of life. And we grow and we mature, and however long that we might have in this world, whether it be a few days or indeed many, many years, it's still just a lifespan. And a person that is conceived and born into this world has a lost soul, has a condition of death within them. And when they are finally held responsible at some point in time, when God recognizes that individual as reached a time that they can know the difference between right and wrong in the spiritual nature, and he holds them responsible, as we call it, accountable for their sin, then the condemnation is revealed. They realize there's something wrong in their life. This happens in people's lives even when they've never heard of Jesus, that there is a recognition at some point in their life that things are not right. That's why that we have religions of all different kinds and all different places throughout our society. There's never been a society studied in archaeology or in anthropology or any of the other sciences that study past histories that didn't have a religion, because they realized there was something wrong. There was something that they were missing with some greater power. And so they make up something to try to appease that feeling within them. They go to very elaborate rituals and all sorts of things that we can see in different religious teaching. But the fact is that that's a revelation in their heart that they are lost and separated from God. Now, whether they find the true teachings about the Lord is another thing. And I've made mention of this before. I've read numbers of accounts of people that were in foreign lands and with no teaching about Jesus whatsoever, that knew that there was something wrong and their religion wasn't providing them an answer. It wasn't providing them the help that they needed within. And so they began to travel, they began to go somewhere, and they began to ask, and they began to seek, and they began to look. And eventually, they find somebody that tells them the truth about Jesus and about salvation, and they put their trust in Him, get saved, and find satisfaction to that problem that they had within their heart. And that's exactly what happens with each and every individual, even if we grow up in a church and we grow up in a family that tells us about Jesus, and we hear the preaching about Jesus, and we read the scriptures about Jesus. We still have to get to a point that we recognize we don't have Him in our heart, and that we have to seek Him out, and we have to trust in Him in order to have that eternal salvation. And God provides within us, even with families that have children grow up. Sometimes the children are very negligent about seeking the Lord. Sometimes they rebel against seeking the Lord, and they might grow up and even die without finding the Lord. But most of the time, fortunately, people that are brought up and taught about Him, it will have an effect on their heart through the Holy Spirit that will help them to find Him more readily. But yet, there are people that walk in off the street, if you would, that never heard about Jesus in the true way, and hear about Him one time and realize that's what I need, and trust Him right then and get saved. And that's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful any time that somebody gets saved, and we become a child of God because God has forgiven us, placed us in to His family. And we should be much we are much blessed, and we should be much thankful for that. And Brother Ian was talking about there's some people that hear enough information that they get saved and don't really understand what they have until it's explained to them at some point and revealed to them as they develop in their life and come to a better knowledge and understanding about the Lord. I've encountered numbers of people like that that can give a good testimony of having experience with God, but because they've not been schooled, if you would, or they've not been trained, they've not been taught, they've not been exposed to the teachings of the Word of God, they don't really understand what they have, but yet they still have it. And they come to an understanding about it and then begin to apply it much more easily in their life and to be able to serve the Lord much better because they have an understanding of it. But we that are saved, we that are the children of God, we have every expectation of that heavenly land, that place that God has provided for us. And He has given us every thing that we need in this life to conduct ourselves in a way that would be reflective of Him, that we might be able to share that with others. The song that we sang, "Do You Know My Jesus?" That's a question that we ought to be asking everybody. Do you know my Jesus? A lot of people know about Him. A lot of people have heard of Him. A lot of people have been told some things about Him. Something that I thought about preaching or expected to preach this morning was along those lines. In the Old Testament, especially in Jeremiah's writing, the land of Judah, which was a southern portion after the split of Israel, the northern 10 tribes in Judah and Benjamin split from themselves, and Jeremiah was the prophet to them to give them warning. They said, he told them, he said, your priests have gone out of line. Your prophets are prophesying the wrong thing. Your pastors are leading you in the wrong direction. And he was just saying that they still went by the law. They still went by the Old Testament, but they misunderstood what it was saying. And they weren't telling people about true salvation, and they needed to be saved. And that's a condition in our country today, that there's a lot of people that are called Christians. We're even referred to as a Christian country quite often. But there's so many of those that are called Christians that have gone outside of the bounds of what God teaches. And they teach an easy route salvation. They teach a handshake salvation, join the church church salvation, to get baptized salvation, all sorts of rituals and other things that people do to try to make a way to God, when the simple way is to put your trust in Jesus and believe with all your heart, repenting of your sin, that you might have eternal life. It's an easy plan, and once a person understands it and realizes that I'm lost and he's the Savior, and all you got to do is get that together to say, I reject that salvation. I reject that sin, and I turn to Jesus for salvation. In our minds, that's a pretty easy process. It's difficult to get to the point in the heart to really do that, to be able to put yourself aside. For Jesus said that if you wanted to be his disciple, be one of his children, be a student of his, basically, is that you had to reject mother and father, houses and lands, brothers and sisters. And he said, yea, even your own life. And that's a hard part to get to. And I've told this many times in my testimony when I was a 12 and 13 year old boy seeking the Lord before I got saved. Then I hear people say, you've got to give up everything. And I think of everything that meant something to me at that age. And I said, I'll give up baseball. I'll give up television. I'll give up. And I just went through the list of things that I thought was important. And I would give those things up. But what was holding me back was the fact I wasn't willing to give up my life until I realized that one night when I was just a 13-year-old boy. And I felt like that hell was just one breath away, that I was one step away from stepping off into it. And all of a sudden, I didn't see anything else. I didn't have any other cares. I didn't have any other concern in life other than escaping that awful place called hell. And then I put my trust in Jesus, and he took it away. He took away the fear. He took away the heartache. He took away the condemnation. He gave me peace in my heart. And I've had that peace ever since. I've mistreated it sometimes, but I've never doubted it. What he did for me that night, it was so dramatic. Matter of fact, it was so dramatic that it startled me. I didn't really know what to do for just a little while as I heard people testifying and talking about the goodness of God. But I couldn't really concentrate on what they were saying. I was just trying to figure out what happened to me. Everything's different inside. There's something going on in there. And I'm not going to go into all my testimony about that. But some of you have heard it that Satan started playing with my mind and telling me that I'm still lost. But I knew I had to say something. I had to tell somebody. I had to do something. And I finally made my way up out of the sea. As soon as I made that effort, God gave me the right things to say. I stepped out and I started walking down. And I said, the Lord saved my soul. I'm proud of it. People began to rejoice. The preacher asked me the details of it. And I told him, sitting back in that fourth seat back on the end of the beach there during that special prayer, how that burden of hell was there. And it was so real to me. But then I put my trust in Jesus and I went away. And all of a sudden it was light. And it was peaceful. And it was joy in my heart. And I've had that ever since in my life. Every time that I'll reflect upon it anyway, if I get my mind somewhere else, if I get myself into thinking about other things, I can not really feel it the way I ought to. But whenever I walk with the Lord, whenever I think about the Lord, whenever I get my heart and mind centered upon him, then there's that reality of what happened to me and what's taken me through life and what's going to take me to glory is because that God saved my soul because of what Jesus did for me. And when I was a 13-year-old boy, I submitted to that and put my trust in him, and he saved me. And every one of you has got an experience of grace, has something similar happened to you. The outward trappings might have been totally different, but what happened inside is the same. You had a place and a time when the burden of your condition was such that the Lord spoke peace to your heart and you really trusted him. It might not have been words that you said. You know, a lot of the modernists, they'll say, well, repeat this prayer. Now say it the way that I say it, or just follow after me, and then they'll declare that you've been saved if you say it. Now that's between man and individual, and that's not what salvation is. Salvation is between you and God, and when you can pray to God. And I don't know the words that I said that night. I just knew I needed help, and I called on him from my heart. The Holy Spirit did that. I desire my heart to the throne room, and God heard the prayer. Jesus said, "Forgive him." And God never refuses his son. And so he sent the word back down by the Spirit. to take away that burden, to give me peace within. And the same transaction takes place with everybody when you get saved. Is that burden, and then it is removed as soon as you put a complete trust in Him, surrendering to Him, and just knowing that He is going to be the one to take care of you. And He'll let you know that. Again, sometimes because of lack of understanding or lack of training or whatever, a person might not understand what happened, but they know. Again, I appreciate Brother Hinn's testimony because there's been many people that's gone a long time not knowing what happened to them until they come to an understanding in their mind of what really happened to them in their heart. But every one of us that are here, that is saved, have a testimony of a time and place. That's why we talk about time and place as our old time baptist. Oh, I felt so bad for some people that they'll tell me they're saved. And I said, well, when did it happen? I was in church and I walked down the aisle and I shook the preacher's hand or I did what they told me to do. And I said, what happened to you inside? I don't know. If you don't know, then you haven't got it. But the fact is that God is the one that reveals it. God is the one that puts it there. And He said, I write it upon their hearts. And when we have it in our heart, we don't have to remember it. Our mind could come back to us. That's why I've seen numbers of people that have very little mind left in this world because of dementia and disease that might come along. But you still ask them about being saved, and all of a sudden it's just clear as a bell. They start talking about when the Lord saved their soul many years ago, whenever it was, that they still, because it's in their heart. It's not something we have to recall by the mind. If we have to think about what was the date on it, we might have to figure that up because we didn't remember at the time that it happened, and we have to kind of go back and figure it up. But the fact is, the time and the place doesn't mean the date on the calendar or the time on the clock, but the time in our life and the situation in our life. And I may have told you this before. There was one man that had said he was confused. He didn't know about being saved, and he was questioned about it. And he said, well, I don't know where I was. I don't know what the place was. And so he was questioned further. And it turns out he was in an airplane. He didn't know if he was over Kansas or Missouri or where he was. But he was in the airplane. That was his place. That he was there when he put his trust in the Lord and got saved. There is a time and place in our life when that transaction takes place. And God gives us a witness in our heart by His Spirit that we are the children of God. And I'm thankful to be a child of God. I'm thankful to have an assurity of heaven. I'm thankful to have a no-so salvation. That I don't have to guess about, hope about, or wonder if I, when I get to heaven, if I'm going to be let in or not. But I've got a sure route going in. The angels, or however it is that God's going to take me, is going to deliver me right before Him. And He'll say, welcome in, thy good and faithful servant. That doesn't mean I've done everything I'm supposed to do. But the person that has saved or been saved by the grace of God is good in God's sight. And the person that's been saved is somebody that's been faithful to put their trust in Jesus. And whatever we might else have done in life might be good or bad as far as the way we look at it. But a person whose heart has the blood of Christ applied to them will have entrance into heaven to go in and be in the presence of God and all the saints of my bygone days and all that will ever gather there for eternity. And I'm thankful that I have a witness and an assurity of that. It's not a guessing thing. It's not something that I'm just expecting to happen. It's something I know is going to happen because I have that relationship with God. The Apostle Paul said that if we didn't know that, we'd be of all men most miserable. For us trying to serve the Lord and didn't know where we was going. Didn't know how it is. And I know people like that. Well, I hope when my life's over, I've done enough good to get in. My good outweighs the bad. That's the problem. We can't pile enough good up on it to outweigh the bad of having rejected Jesus. Of not believing Him with all of our heart. But everyone that puts their trust in Him. him that all that bad is wiped off. The slate is clean. There is no sin to that person who has been saved as far as their spiritual condition is concerned. The Bible tells us that his secret man is in us, that we cannot sin. Now, that doesn't mean in the outward flesh, but that means in the spirit, because that's what's born again. That's what makes us a child of God, is that new birth in our heart. And I know this is a repeat for many of you that hear it time and time again. But the fact is, that's what the Lord wanted me to talk about a little bit today. And if you're here and unprepared for eternity, if you're not ready, if you don't have a time and place, if you don't have somewhere, whether it is a 13-year-old boy in England down on your bedside, or Ray Comfort, man, he's not a Baptist, but he tells a good story about being down on his living room floor at 2 o'clock in the morning when he got saved, and he's done a lot of work for the Lord, even though he's not one of us as far as Baptist is concerned. But you don't have to be a Baptist to be saved. We hope you become a Baptist after you get saved and follow in those ways. But belonging to a church doesn't make any difference. You can belong to a bunch of them, and it don't make any difference as far as your salvation is concerned. That's a relationship between you and God. If you don't have that relationship, you're not saved. If you don't understand that relationship, but you can go back and you can find a time that something happened, something was different, something changed within you, then you might want to examine it a little more closely. You might want to study the scriptures a little bit more to come to an understanding. Now, I don't want to try to convince anybody that you're saved if you hadn't had the experience, but if you've had the experience, God lets you know it. And one of the easiest ways to do it is say, Lord, am I heading to heaven or heading to hell? If you ask yourself honestly and you ask him honestly and you listen to what he has to say, when you ask an honest question to God, he'll always answer you first, and he'll let you know in your heart that everything's okay or it's not okay. Satan will come right along after that in your mind and try to confuse you on it. But if you listen to what you ask God for and you listen to what he says in your heart and not what you think, what you reason, how you figure things in your mind, but listen especially to what he says in your heart, then he'll give you the right answer, and you'll know whether things are okay or not. And you just check out. Matter of fact, the Bible says to check ourselves out and to see if we're in the faith, if we've been saved. Are you in? It's good for all of us. Go back and check that out. It's good. Even for those that are of us that are sure, just go back and reflect on it. Like Brother Burke said, and I've heard him say many times about when he was saved as a seven-year-old boy. It's just good to go back to that time and to reflect upon it and to relive a little bit of it in our mind, think about what happened in our heart. And we're just sure as we know, or as sure as we can be about it, because it's something that God has witnessed to us, that we're his child. We have redemption through his blood, being the blood of Jesus, and the forgiveness of sin.
Hallelujah.
He has saved us. If you know him, the free pardon of sin, then I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for that relationship that you have with God, and I encourage you to use that to guide your life, to serve the Lord, to be the witness you need to be, to tell other people about Jesus and what you got. I guarantee you that a bunch of you got gifts at Christmas and you've told somebody about it. You told, well, look here at this shirt I got, or this toy I got, this whatever it might be that you particularly like, that you've got. The greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation. Shouldn't you want to tell somebody about it and tell them how they can get it too? I was meeting somebody. I think it was the day after Christmas, one of the little cartoons in the paper. The little boy came in and said, I just been over to Billy's house and I know what I want for Christmas next year. So he already seen something that the other boy had gotten and he wanted to have it next year. Well, if you've got salvation, don't you want to tell somebody about it so they can want it too? So that they can have it too. So they can have the same things you got, because God's got enough of it for the whole world. It's his desire that everybody be saved. It's his will that everybody is saved. But he don't force his will on them. But he gives you the opportunity. And if you're here and unprepared for eternity, that you've never been saved, you don't have that relationship with God, it's his will that you be saved. He doesn't desire that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. going to have a song, and I'm going to give an invitation. This is a good place for God to honor his mention. It's a good place just to come and bow and pray. There's no virtue in it. There's nothing that can save you here other than meeting Jesus. And you can meet him wherever you open your heart before him. And there's been plenty of people we can go through and take all the testimonies of people been saved in here. And we find some have been saved on the altar, some back in the house, some at home, some on the road, some in various places. And I've heard of plenty of places that people got saved. God is not restricted to the place. It's in your heart that counts where you humble yourself before him. But while you're here in church and have people that's willing to pray on your behalf and to ask God to burden you to the point that that you can see your condition, that you'll put your trust in him. We can't pray away your sins, but we can sure pray for the convicting power to come that will cause you to get to that point of really seeing yourself as God sees you, and therefore seeing no hope in yourself or in anything in this world, and put your trust in Jesus, and he'll save you. As we stand and sing, give the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God's got to work in it. It's not just what you reason in your mind. The Spirit of God's got to be working in your heart, and you've got to have an open heart to that. If you'll let the Holy Spirit work there, then he will show you where you stand. And if you don't have a time and place in life that God spoke peace to your soul, then today would be a mighty good day to get it. Matter of fact, it's the only opportunity that you're promised is right now. You're not promised later this afternoon or tonight, but right now you have breath, you have the capability of being able to approach God, and while you can, take advantage of it. If God moves on your heart to draw you in repentance and faith, don't reject him. Don't put him aside. Don't say no to him, but say, yes, I want Jesus. As we stand and sing,
turn to page 119 and sing the first, second, and last verse.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace, his power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Been washed in the blood of the Lamb, been saved by God's grace, the next thing that he wants you to do is to follow him. He didn't take up your cross and follow me. Take the responsibility of being a child of God and join it together with other God's children and carry the message to a lost world, that they too might have the privilege of hearing the gospel be saved. If you've been saved by God's grace and never united with the Lord's church, and I'm not going to go into a big dissertation about that, but I certainly believe this to be the Lord's church, we would encourage you to follow the Lord. Take up your cross and follow Him. If you've never united with the church that practices as we do and that believes in this old-time salvation and that upholds the truth of the teaching of Jesus, we invite you to become a member if the Lord moves your heart to do so. That we can receive members by experience of baptism, which is related to your experience. We ask people to tell about what happened to them when they got saved. And the church can receive you and authorize your baptism, which is something that Jesus said after that the church was to make disciples, they were baptized. We would do that for you to become a member of His church in taking up your cross and following the Lord. And if you belong to church or sister church that believe like we do, or member there, have your letter or need a letter, we can contact your church to get a letter of recommendation for you that we can receive you into our fellowship. And by restoration, I don't think that's the case with anybody here, but by any of the means that we receive members, if the Lord moves you to be a member of this church and to take up your responsibility and work here, then we want you to follow Him. And we invite you to come, and we'll hear what you have to say and your desire to be a member of this church. As we have another verse to the song, just consider and see if that's what the Lord would want of you, is to be a member of this church. The altar is always open for people to come seek the Lord if you're lost. But this is an invitation given to say, if you want to be a member of this church because the Holy Spirit deals with your heart to be a member, then we would love you for you to come. We sing.
Start base number 151, sing first and last verse. I can hear my Savior calling.
Wait.
Brother Magrath, I just need to tell my testimony. I've done it before here, I guess everybody knows, but I think it was like 56 years ago this month. If I figured the dates right, it was the 25th. Regular old Sunday. Went to church. And I've been knowing a long time I was wanting to save, but I didn't feel like I was launched either. So I was at this preaching, and then we called for a handshake. And I'd always been told the altar's open. But since Brother Brooks didn't say if anybody wants to come to the altar, the devil said, no, he can't go. So I stood and held and I cried. And I cried and cried because I knew I was lost. The very minute I knew I was lost. So I told the Lord, I said, well, Lord, you'll let Lake Rosie come and talk to me. And I'll go to the altar. And I looked up and here she came. And I don't remember what she said, but I didn't go off with her. Still stood there crying. And then my daddy came to me. Now what happened next? Next thing I know, I was sitting on the altar. I was crying, pleading for the Lord to save my soul, but sitting on the altar wasn't good enough. I had to get the floor. Like Ian, I wasn't good enough either. And I don't believe I was as mean as Ian, as he was. But I had to get the floor too. And I was on my back. Right here. It wasn't at this church, it was at Pennsylvania Avenue, but I was right along here. Laying flat on my back, praying out loud for the Lord to save my soul. My mother was kneeling on this side, and my daddy was on this side. Suddenly, and I jumped up. Mom said, I was just jumping. We were all jumping. That's when the Lord saved my soul 56 years ago. And I thank you for that.
Thank you. my heart. And of course, once I really enjoyed every day, Christmas in and out of the night. I've been searching and been working all weekends, but called off for this morning. And this is really close, and I've really enjoyed it. I know I'm a stranger than the Father, but I'm a child of God. Lord, save my soul. And I was a 9-year-old girl in a floor, my head on my daddy's neck. And like everyone else, and I was faced there. I don't know what happened. I just know peace came in my heart. And my soul, and it's always been there. I've got precious memories. I've got strong foundation. Ancestors that believed in seeking the Lord when you realize that you're lost. Not letting anyone tell you. You do seek it, you'll find it. And he did me that night. And I praise the Lord for that. Don't really know anything in particular, but we talk a lot about the window of the Lord and all that kind of stuff. But I don't really know what heaven's going to be like. We read about it just like we do everything else, but I know it's going to be just right. It's going to be perfect. And regardless of what we think about it down here, I'm sure it's going to be a lot different.
Yeah.
But it is going to be just exactly right. But this song talks about if you don't find me, I'm not too far away. And this is true. And we don't know how we're going to know. I've got a baby in heaven. I wonder sometimes how that will be. But like I say, it's going to be just exactly right. But the biggest thing, the most important thing, is I'll be able to sing it.
Amen.
I'll sing a song I've never sung before here. I've sung a lot of songs we've sung today. I'll sing my sweet old daddy. I told Christy, I said, I don't know the man asleep, but he made me laugh a lot of my day. The Lord's blessed me here today. Which I'll pray, don't listen to the words, don't know why I might say it. But when I get moved or the Lord blesses me, it's a little bit more difficult to sing. Someday I'm going up to a city where the streets are paved with gold. And I'm going to sit down beside my Jesus in a land where we'll never grow old. Well, I'll receive a mansion beside that river where I'll live for a million years. No wreaths of death shall hang upon my door, and I'll never have to shed another tear.
Amen.
Well, if you don't find me when you reach heaven, don't you fret, cause I'll not be far away. I'll be rejoicing, walking down Main Street, there with friends and loved ones that have gone to waste. The first thing I want to do is see that dear man who hung and died for you and me. Receive my broken crown and meet the saints of old. Hold and I'll shout the victory. Then I'll sing you that angel band, and I'll sing the sweetest song. Crown him Lord of Lords, I'll have a good time when I reach heaven. If you don't find me, I'll not be too far away. Well, if you don't find me when you reach heaven, don't you fret, cause I'll not be far away. I'll just be rejoicing, walking down Main Street, there with friends and loved
or road, Walter Andrews. And this bridge here is far ahead. Anyone else have anything in common?
It's been good to be here today, Brother Mayor, and I'd like to welcome all the visitors to come back with that and have a witness. It's a real privilege that you came today.
Certainly echo that. Glad to have you. We will have service tonight at 6 o'clock. Brother Michael Barber will be here on the preach. He's the son of Pastor Robert Harmony.
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you, Lord, for many testimonies that we've heard today and the spirit that we felt move among us today. We'd ask the Lord to help us keep the prayer request that was made upon our hearts throughout this week. And stay close to you, Lord, and draw near. We'd ask the Lord to give us word for the lost and bring their thoughts to you. I ask you to watch over us and take care of us until we meet again, Lord. Our favors we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Christmas cards out there.